For today's episode of the BenHeck.com podcast, we've snagged an exclusive interview with everyone's favorite actress who seems to only make vampire movies. Please welcome Kate Beckinsale.
Thank you. I love being here. Even though I'm not familiar with a podcast, what exactly is a podcast?
Well, a podcast is when people, usually, you know, huge geeks, sit around in their parents' basements recording things that they want to talk about, and then people allegedly listen to it.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
Right. Well, okay, let's move on. I have a question for you. I think many of your fans, all eight of them, are probably wondering this. Your movies seem to have kind of an ongoing theme. They all seem to involve either werewolves or vampires or both. Can you comment on this?
Oh, yes. You see, back in my early days, I had to make movies that they sent me. They sent me scripts like for this Shakespeare movie about nothing. I don't know what that was. Or, you know, these other movies. But really, I've always been interested in vampires and werewolves.
Why is that?
I like vampires, you see, because they're magical, and they can turn into bats and wolves and mist and things. Oh, and I like werewolves also, because werewolves are people, you see, for like 29 days a month. But then, when there's a full moon or something, they turn into wolves, and they're stuck around the countryside eating babies and whatnot.
Okay, all right.
It's very interesting.
Indeed. Can you tell us about your new movie, which is apparently about a motel or something? It looks kind of like Joyride 2, if you ask me, but
I'm not familiar with that movie. Were there any werewolves in it?
No, just Paul Walker, although maybe
he's almost a werewolf.
Yeah, almost. But anyway, I noticed in the trailers and the commercials for that, there doesn't seem to be any werewolves or vampires. What gives? I mean, were you sloughing the day you signed on?
They totally tricked me. The script they sent me originally didn't have this Luke Wilson chap in it. By the way, I'm not familiar with him. He seemed like a nice enough bloke, though. Anyway, we were making this movie, and they sent me this script, and they fooled me into being in it. Because in the original script, you see, I was dressed in nothing but skin-tight leather, and there were vampires everywhere! We went to a hotel, right? And we opened the closet door, and hanging inside was a vampire! I was amazed! It was a great movie! And I said, yes, I will do it. And they were like, okay, but we're going to film this scene without the vampire and see what happens. And then we'll film it later with the vampire. And I was like, okay. So we filmed it without vampires, right? And then after lunch, I was like, well, we're going to film the part with the vampire. They'll be like, oh, we'll film that later. Just don't worry about that. Keep your leather cat suit hanging around just in case.
Wow, it sounds like they really tricked you on that one.
They completely tricked me.
So is that kind of what happened with your last pre-vampire binge movie, Pearl Harbor? Because last time I checked, there were no vampires in Pearl Harbor either.
In the history book that I read, that my parents gave to me, my mommy and daddy, if they're listening to this, hello. Anyway, the one that they gave me, it turns out that Pearl Harbor was attacked by vampires!
Whoa. I thought it was the Japanese, the Imperial, Navy or whatever.
I don't know who they are! But in the history book that they gave me, there was vampires everywhere! Vampires flew these planes over to Hawaii on like a Sunday or something.
Well, why would the vampires have to fly a plane? I thought they could turn into bats or mist. Couldn't they get across the Pacific that way?
Well, their arms would get tired. Their wings, the poor little devils.
Oh, and then once they arrived, they wouldn't be able to suck the blood out of
exactly.
Ben Affleck or whoever.
So I was like, Pearl Harbor, this is chock full of vampires in history, right? I'm going to do this movie. But instead, it was some sort of lame-ass love story where I fell in love with some, I don't know, the other guy from Good Will Hunting, which is another movie I never saw because there were no vampires in it.
Well, you've seen Interview with a Vampire, right?
Oh, yes! I loved it! It was amazing!
Okay, speaking of falling in love, when you did one of your early vampire movies,
yes?
What was that called? Underworld.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes!
I thought it was a big piece of crap. But anyway, then apparently you married the director.
It was amazing!
Len Wiseman, you got married to him after you churned out that turd?
Oh, yes, Len! Len was amazing! He told me, now, Kate, darling, you're a vampire. I said, I'm a vampire? This is amazing. This is great. I've wanted to be a vampire since I was a little girl growing up in wherever that was. And so we made this movie and I got to kill a bunch of werewolves because werewolves are the mortal enemy together. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, we need you to fight this evil vampire. And I was like, okay. And it was great. And I got to kill werewolves. I ran around all day long and I ate cookies. It was awesome.
Okay, okay. So now, Len.
Oh, darling, Len.
Yeah. Yeah, your husband is now directing the fourth Die Hard movie, 12 years after the last one. What do you think about that? I mean, are you a fan of the early Die Hard movies?
I'm actually, you know what, Ben? I hate to say this, but I'm not actually familiar with them.
You've never seen any of the Die Hard movies?
No.
Are you from the moon or something?
Anyway,
so why aren't you in Die Hard 4? I thought you'd be all over that.
He showed me the script, and I just couldn't even get through it. I gotta tell you, quite frankly.
Let me guess, there were no vampires in it?
Exactly! There were no vampires or werewolves. There were all these terrorists, and they were using the internet, which is another thing I've never heard of before.
All right, so do you have any future movies you're planning to be in that you can tell us about?
Well, I think I'm going to shit out another thing with Adam Sandler. Maybe he'll put a vampire in it this time.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see Click, but I had this feeling there weren't any vampires in it.
If you check out the deleted scenes section, there was this part that we filmed where it turned out Adam Sandler was a vampire, and that's how he could manipulate time, because apparently vampires can do anything!
Well, he certainly does suck.
Yes, he does.
Quite a bit. Right. All right. Well, I think we just have time for just a few more closing statements. Is there anything you'd like to tell any aspiring anorexic British actresses out there?
Have a lot of shots in the movies of your ass, because people like asses.
Okay.
I don't know why, but asses sell. And then, once you make enough movies where they show your ass in loving close-up, then you can go on to make all the movies you want about whatever subject is dearest to your heart. In my case, that would be vampires!
I figured that.
Yes.
Okay, another question. Are you ever going to get back into the corset movies? You know, like, I think the movie you're talking about was Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, or any of those. What was called?
Yeah, it was a Shakespeare play. Oh. Shakespeare was a... You've heard of Shakespeare, right?
Was he a vampire?
Yeah, sure. He was a vampire.
Oh, goody.
Well, I think that'll do it for today. Thank you for coming on our show. And
I'm sure everyone is
going to line up for your vacancy movie.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called. Oh. Although I'm sure the only vacancy will be that in the theater seat. Ching.
That's very nice.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. And now we'll move on to the rest of the podcast. Hello, Internet... citizens, welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode number 25, I think. I am your host, Ben Heckendorn.
How do you get to become a citizen of the internet, anyway? This is Jason Jones, by the way, if you've never listened to us before.
Yes, I'm going to start listening right now, so who are these guys? Well, you see, you sign up for an internet package or whatever, then you are a citizen of the internet, and you get like a little card and... Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like being a citizen of the world.
Okay, today's topics are fall games we're looking forward to. Not games in which you fall or fall guys, games coming out this fall.
They're making a fall guy game?
Yes, and then after that, the Equalizer.
Then A-Team.
That would be awesome! Maybe you'd actually get to shoot people on like a show where they always just kind of shot their guns in the general direction of the people.
Yes, and then cut to commercial.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's about 9 trillion video games coming out this fall, and we're going to talk about the ones we're looking forward to and are buying, I guess.
Yeah.
Or planning to buy.
Yes, our wallets are going to be very empty this fall, I think.
Yes. Okay, topic 2 is video game cliches. We're going to discuss the time-honored video game cliches, all of which I noticed were in Lost Planet, which I recently beat.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes, I really got in the vital suit and got in there. And topic 3, which we changed at the last minute, it was going to be our movies too damn long, but it's a short answer, yes.
Yeah.
Topic 3 is now price drops of the Xbox 360 and the magical price barriers. You know, at what point do people start buying a console? You know, is it 200, 300, and why doesn't inflation seem to... you know, be taken into effect. I guess we'll get to that when the time comes. So yes, those are our topics. If you don't like them, stop listening now. Otherwise, you're stuck with us. So, news items. I have a news item. I'm still pissed off about hearing the term casual and hardcore. I see it all over the place, and it really makes me upset.
I just saw a thing today where they're talking about casual gaming is going to be the primary driver of video game growth in the next 2 years, and they had all these like bullshit numbers and stuff, and it's like, what is this? We've beaten the dead horse already, but it's like, what is this casual gamer shit?
Yeah, it's like taking a whole bunch of Republicans and saying, now you're libertarians and constitutionalists.
Yeah.
You know, like, just make it, huh? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Where did this come from? And they even kind of alluded to it in the thing I read today, too. The guy that they quoted actually said that, like, the casual gamer is kind of the new catch-all for this crap. It's the new buzzword that they're just going to attach to everything, which, of course, we're noticing now. Everything, of course, is going to be called a casual gamer's delight.
I see that dreaded term popping up in Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Just look around like the marketplace and stuff. You'll see that bastard word thrown in there quite a bit.
Ugh. God,
now, maybe we're just
it.
Being defensive, but it's just like...
Well, it's just using...
Like terrestrial
some...
radio and landlines. Yeah. It's like, let's just give things new words.
It's just lame terminology for something that doesn't need... to be labeled, basically.
It's like...
Why don't they just say non-gamers? Because that's what they're really trying to get at when they say this.
But then
crap.
If they're gamers, they're gamers. So aren't they just gamers?
Exactly.
Like, okay, let's say you're like a race car driver. That means you're a professional car driver. But everyone drives cars, so aren't they drivers too? Are we casual drivers? But I'm just saying, where do the labels end?
Yeah, where is the line, actually? That's what I would like to know.
Well, you know what I think the line is.
It's apparently somewhere between the Wii and
everything
the 360
else.
And the PS3 and everything else.
No, you see these people talking, the way they write, anything before the Wii was hardcore, including all 120 million PS2s that were sold.
Yeah.
Which is just rubbish, I think.
Yeah. Lame.
So, yes, a news item is I continue to be annoyed by that, and apparently Jones is as well.
Yes.
Well, for all you casual gamers out there, you can now pick up an Xbox 360 for less money.
Yeah.
Looks like it's
but how much less?
I think it's 280. No, is it 280 or 270?
It's going to be 280 for the core,
uh-huh.
And then... $350 for the premium and $450 for the elite. So the biggest price drop was for the premium because that went down $50.
And that's the best bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the one that sells the most out
right.
of all of them. It's the most commonly
because do you
one,
really
so.
Think HDMI made it like deal-breakingly better?
I don't think most people. I mean, the hard drive is probably the key thing for most people, and even still. I don't know how many people give that much of a crap about having a 120-gig hard drive, but out of that and HDMI, I think that's probably the more important addition to the Elite.
So for all of you casual gamers out there, the difference between a Wii and a real game system is now one tank of gas.
Or less than a tank, actually.
Yeah, I suppose.
So that it's even less than a tank of gas in my Vibe, which only has like a... 11-gallon tank or whatever, so...
That's true.
So
oh, that reminds me,
there.
I owe you 50 cents.
That's right, because I whooped your ass on the Simpsons opening weekend estimate.
You know, we all thought Jones was nuts for saying 80 million.
No, I said 70.
Oh, you did? I thought you said 80.
No, I said 70.
Well, regardless, you were the closest. I said 30. I was a bit wrong.
What did Dale say, like 50?
Yeah, so... He thought he was going to win. I thought he was, too, but...
Yeah, I knew there are all these people that have watched it over the years, because it's been around forever, so
yeah,
almost everybody's been touched by
it's
it.
It's probably something like Terminator 3. Well, that's not the best way to put it, but even people that don't watch The Simpsons anymore, which is most people,
yeah.
They remember it being good, so they don't watch it anymore, but they went and saw the movie.
Yeah.
Although Dave Campbell gave me a review of it saying it was okay.
Hmm.
So...
Well, that's probably better than you can say for most summer movies.
Yeah, so I don't know. It would be kind of novel to see it on the screen, although I still wish I would have saw Aqua Teen Hunger Force in the theater, because that would have been just weird.
Yeah.
or South Park. That would have been interesting to see, just to see it on the screen.
Oh, no.
Oh, well. Anyway, so, okay, another news item. They are going to Lego every franchise, apparently, for what is coming?
Indiana Jones. And they're already making a Batman one, too, that was previously announced. That's supposed to come out, like, early next year. This kicks ass, though, because I've always been a big fan of Legos, and then, like, they made the Lego Star Wars games, and they actually did a really good job with those, and it's the same crew that's doing these games.
Traveler's Tales.
Yeah. And they do a good job of injecting humor into it, and just, you know, having a lot of tongue-in-cheek references to things that fans of the series will get, so I'm looking forward to see what they do with both the Batman and the Indiana Jones franchises, so... And the Indiana Jones one is going to include all three movies that have been made up to this point, just like how they did the Star Wars ones in trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be a pretty good time. I'll definitely snap it up.
Well, then in 10 years they can have the Shia LaBeouf Indiana Jones trilogy.
Ugh.
Apparently they brought back Karen Allen, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know I'll see it, but I just don't know about that movie. It would have been better left to die.
She was on Law and Order once, but I don't know how long ago it was. I'm pretty sure it was an Orbach episode, so that...
It's been a few years, then.
Well, no more than 2 or 3. See, that's a whole other subject, but I really like the episodes that have, like, Orbach... well, Watterson's always in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fred Thompson, probably pretty soon they won't be able to show his episodes anymore. That's going to suck, because they'll have, like, the new ones in which Orbach is dead.
Yeah. So. And they won't be able to show him because of their laws or whatever about giving him so much screen time or something.
Yeah, Arnold had the same thing.
Yeah. In
2003. It's like, you cannot show my new movie on TV. It's like, not even Red Sonja? He's like, especially not that one.
You must burn it.
All right, Arnold, moving past all these allegations of, you know, sexual misconduct, you made Red Sonja. It's true. I did not inhale it, though. All right.
I did not know what I was doing.
I was young. I was stupid. I needed the money. All right. So... Yes, I know everyone listens to this podcast to hear impressions of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, who wouldn't? Can never get enough of Arnold.
Yep. All right, well, we're now going to move on to our mascot contest.
Oh, that's right. Getting into the meat of the show here.
Yeah, this is going to be really meaty. Basically, the thing was, you know, 2 weeks ago we were talking about how Microsoft's ad campaign sucks. And we're like, hey, folks out there, why don't you make a Xbox mascot?
So how many entries did we have?
Like 10.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to go through the entries one by one. I'm just kind of in the order they appear in the screen. Okay, this one, it's a guy walking. Oh, by the way, you may recall, Jones, I requested that all entries have helicopters, machine guns, and mountains in the background. And quite a few people put that in.
Nice.
So what do you think this is, this first one here?
What do I think it is?
Yeah. Because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's interesting.
It's like a guy walking and he's got like a hammer and... Oh, no, I think it's a radio.
And there's like helicopters over mountains in the background.
Well, you gotta have that.
Where are we going to get a video game for our comic? Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that is.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next one. This one, I kind of like this one. This one has Bruce Campbell.
And it says, get in there.
Yep, and he's got a headset photoshopped onto his head. And what is he saying here in this caption bubble?
He's like, groovy. I can play games, download movies, and chat to my friends all on my 360.
And this person did also see fit to include helicopters, two helicopters.
Yep.
And mountains in the background.
And an elite.
Oh, yeah, so there it is. Not too
bad.
And
even fit our slogan in there.
Yeah, that's pretty good. This one is interesting. It's a helicopter with a smiley face put on the front of it. It's called Heli the Copter.
It looks like the mouth of Sauron helicopter.
Well, look what they did. they made the mascot a helicopter.
Yeah.
With mountains in the background.
Exactly.
See, there's a little backstory. When I was younger and we used to draw, you know, before we had computers.
When was that?
It was a long time ago. I would always have mountains in the background. That inevitably, there would be, you know, helicopters firing machine guns in the... Because, you know, it's like Afghanistan or something.
It happens. Interesting.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. I kind of like this one. What do you think? This is Lex, the Extreme Lemur. And it's, I guess it's a lemur, which, you know, the kind of along the veins of Awesome Possum. It doesn't actually look like the animal, but...
It's got a sword and a throwing star.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Might be a little too hard-edged, but...
He looks like a reject from Dr. Seuss. Not that that's a bad thing.
He's got like this candy cane tail,
yeah.
But it's green and white.
And he's wearing a green shirt with an axe on it.
Well, I've looked through all these already. I think this would probably be a good runner-up.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so let's move on. Okay, we have a pencil drawing on a receipt, it looks like. Is this like a salamander, I guess?
Let's see... It's got obligatory goggles.
Badass sideburns. Yeah. Badass sideburns. It's got some armor, I guess, and spikes and blade things.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Well, needs more color, but... Okay, I realized this must be Ralph Baer. I thought it was originally like Orville Redenbacher. So apparently they've taken Ralph Baer, the inventor of the Intellivision, his head and put it on like a gangsta guy who's got a bunch of cash, a pistol, and, you know, like tattoos. And
he's got a big chain around his neck.
And the slogan is, "We bought Baer, coming spring 2008. So that's interesting. Oh, this is the one I really like. Yeah. Well, mostly because it's really well done. This is a dragon, and he's holding an Xbox 360 controller, and... Apparently
he's got
his
a pointy tail.
Yeah, apparently his name is Rex, the mascot. And he's green. See in the corner there?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, he's got an X on his tail, see?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. It's good because it would appeal to everybody.
And it's very well rendered. It looks professional.
Yeah.
And I guess he's cute.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, would appeal to kids and everybody.
So I wonder what he can do. Maybe I'll make them give us a backstory before I give them an award. So I like this dragon one. He's pretty cool, yeah. Okay, this one says, I don't know what his name is, but it says Born to Frag. It's a penguin, which I assume is a Linux penguin, and he's holding a big gun.
Something tells me they'd probably change some of the things on his helmet here.
You mean like the words Linux rocks?
Yeah, and the...
Anti-Microsoft sticker?
Yeah, the Windows logo with the red slash through it. Amusing, though.
Yep, it's pretty cute.
Yeah.
What else we got? Oh, I believe this is called Xbox, which might be a play on, you know, what people call Xbox fans. It's a robot with an X on the front of it, and it is indeed standing in front of mountains with helicopters.
You and your damn mountains and helicopters.
I just figured I'd ask for it. That one's okay, but I don't know. This one is... The first thing I thought of when I saw this was Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, this one...
It's, imagine if Beavis and Butthead look like an Xbox. That's pretty much what this looks like.
Yeah, green arms and legs.
And
a pitchfork.
It's a PS3. See, he's going to stab the PS3.
Yes.
And he does have armpit hair. Worry not. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And there are mountains and helicopters in the background. So, let's see if it's... I think that's... Yep, that
was
it. So, I don't know. I think I'd...
Yeah, I would agree with you.
The dragon one?
I'd say the dragon, and then, yeah, probably that lemur one.
Well, there's only one prize, so...
But I mean, the lemur would be like the runner-up.
Yeah, we'll call him the best runner-up. But we're going to post all these on the website, even though you'll already have seen them if you're listening to this, but whatever. So yes, whoever it was that did the dragon one, I don't have your name. Oh wait, yeah, I do. Gus, oh man, help me with that.
Let's see, Gus Duvalitis?
Sure.
Maybe? Something like that?
You win! Thanks for playing. Maybe we'll have another contest sometimes, but thanks for all your entries and all your hard work.
Yeah, so Microsoft, call that dude up and talk to him.
Yep.
Make a game based on that little dragon dude.
Yep, because
you'll
order...
make all the money.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, having gotten that out of the way, let us go on to our topics. Fall games we're looking forward to, or how many can we afford to buy? Want to just take turns one by one?
You know, I've never donated plasma before, but this might be the year I have to do it.
You know, how much could you really... I've always wondered about that, because wouldn't it lower your blood pressure if you, like...
I think you can only... They only let you do it every few weeks or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't just, like, go in one day and then go in the next day.
Yeah, because it... take a while to, like, recreate the blood.
Yeah, I believe it's every 3 weeks.
Dehydrated, too.
Yeah. Yeah, just take a gallon of water in with you. What the hell?
You're like, glug, 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 glug. All right, why don't
give
you
me
start?
Mass Effect. let's see. Probably, I don't know if there's one that I'm looking forward to above all
others,
just
go down
which
the
makes
list.
It even more painful, but probably, like, Mass Effect would be pretty high on my list. It's from BioWare. And they did Knights of the Old Republic, and that game kicked ass. Granted, this one isn't based on Star Wars, but it looks really cool, and they're actually trying to do very, almost, I don't want to say photorealistic stuff with people's faces, but they're trying to get gaming to the point where you can be talking to a character in the game and see certain changes in their facial expressions or whatever, and be able to conduct yourself towards that character based off of that, so you can tell if they're nervous and things like that. Based on facial twitches and things.
So kind of an evolution of what was in Oblivion.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I don't know, it looks really cool, and they've done great stuff in the past, and it's, you know, one of those kind of action RPGs almost, where, you know, you go around, you have this big epic story, but then you get to do, like, kind of first-person shooter type stuff also. So that one could be pretty cool. I prefer that sort of RPG way beyond, like, the Final Fantasy, like, kind of the Japanese RPG style. I'd kind of lost interest in that a long time ago, so... Because I did try the Blue Dragon demo, and I just couldn't really get into it. Which was kind of sad, because I was sort of looking forward to that until I played the demo.
Do you think other people will like it? Blue Dragon?
Blue Dragon? Yeah, I think it'll definitely have its market. I think it's, you know, the people that like Final Fantasy and stuff, I think it would definitely appeal to them. But
so Mass Effect is kind of like a Knights of the Old Republic type game.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's on the 360?
Yes.
I'm going to guess all your list is.
Yes, everything on my list is on the 360. Shocking as that may be.
Shock and awe.
Although I did just acquire a DS Lite by chance. But
yes.
I haven't looked into anything that's coming out for that.
Now so. Your whiff can play Cooking Mama all the way to South Dakota or wherever it is you're going.
Yes.
Are you going to the Black Hills and all that?
Yep.
Have you ever been there before?
No. So that should be pretty cool. Get to see Mount Rushmore and...
Oh, yes.
All that good stuff, so...
Devil's
Bad
Tower.
Lands. Think so.
I think that's near Mount Rushmore.
And then, like, whatever it is, there's the big Indian monument that they've been working on for like 70 years. That
oh, yes,
crazy horse.
Yeah.
So, all kinds of good shit, and the DS will help her get there.
Yes, and your Vibe has that AC adapter, so you can
charge it as we go.
Pretty neat.
Mass Effect would be for me.
No, this topic suddenly became South Dakota Department of Tourism.
Hey, that's okay, though.
Yeah, well, that sounds kind of interesting. Cool.
So what's your...
I'm just going to go in kind of chronological order. I probably will grab that BioShock game that's coming out in a few weeks.
Yes. You have mentioned that before, so... What is it about it that appeals to you? It does look very cool, I'll give it that.
That's pretty much it.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, cool, I'm underwater, it's the 50s, I get to shoot things. It's fine. It's enough for me.
Yeah. It's got, like, magic and stuff or something, it looks like, because you can kind of, like, control... Like, you can move things, like, telepathically or whatever. I don't know what it is, but, like, we watched that gameplay demo on Xbox Live that time, and it was kind of cool. There was that part where, like, it was... Somehow they were making, like, stuffed animals appear, and then they were starting them on fire and throwing them at...
Oh, yeah.
Like the enemy dude.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're kind of making your own fire bombs with it, and It looked like it had very interesting, like, interactive environments and things like that, so...
Yeah, and hopefully it's got some, yeah, creepy atmosphere.
Yeah, it looked like it from that trailer. It seemed kind of creepy, so...
So, yeah, I'll probably pick that up. What is that? 21st,
it's like August 21st, I think, is what I saw, so less than 3 weeks from now. That's probably the big one that'll kind of kick off the fall gaming deluge, I suppose. So,
yep.
Like that, and that Metroid 3 or whatever comes out for the Wii, which is like the first big one for the Wii coming out, I guess, for people that care about that. So,
yes, and I'm sure it'll sell the Rockstar numbers just like the other Metroid Prime games.
Yeah, like what? Maybe a million?
So, what's your next one?
I don't know if it's one that I am that lathered up about, but it is sounding pretty cool, as Halo 3. And like I've said before, I've never been a huge fan of Halo, but I have a feeling this will be the next big multiplayer, like, online game that all my buddies that I play Lost Planet and shit with will go out and pick up. So I'll pick it up. And I did read a really cool thing about it today, that they're actually going to have the four-player co-op campaign on it, which that'll be pretty wicked. Because that was a lot of fun on Gears of War, just being able to do it two-player online, but being able to have four, I think that'll be pretty wild. So that got me a little more excited about it when I read that today.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so be interesting. And I'm sure there's other cool stuff it's going to have in it that they haven't told us about yet. So
yeah, when I played Halo 1 and Halo 2, I just couldn't get into it that much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe if it becomes the It's game, I'll buy it for some reason.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am at on it. So, because I've still never even played Halo 2, even though I am Xbox fanboy. So,
and that's September, mid-September?
Yeah, like September 20th or somewhere around there, I think. Or no, the 15th, I think it is.
It's not too far away.
Yeah, like 6 weeks or something, so.
Cool. All right, so yeah, we'll see you on the battlefield or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, that'd be cool if I got it. We could both try to beat it.
Yeah.
That might be doable.
We could finish the fight.
Yep. Okay, I put down Contra 4 on the DS.
Yes, I did hear about that.
It's a Contra game, it's 2D, and it's on the DS. I will buy it.
End of story.
Because I buy all the Castlevania games for the Game Boy. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
Apparently, yes, it's supposed to be like the sequel to, obviously, Contra 3, even though I thought Contra 3 was quite overrated. It still has the word Contra in it, so I will buy it.
It's all it takes. Put Contra or Castlevania in it, and Ben will buy it.
Oh, what if it was like Contravania? Awesome.
When's that, like, Rondo of Blood one supposed to be coming out? Is that on the PSP, or is that the DS?
It's the PSP.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, I thought it was, like, August, but I don't think it's too far off.
Yeah.
It includes, yeah, Rondo of Blood, the original version, a 3D version, and then, I don't know if there's two versions of it, but Symphony of the Night's also on the disc.
Oh, wow.
So they crammed a bunch of crap on that disc.
That's cool.
Well, I did finally play Rondo Blood at the Midwest Game Classic.
Yeah, you got to check it out, finally.
It was pretty cool. I could see why people like it. Yeah, that's about all I have to say.
I guess the next ones I've got is, like, and they kind of go hand in hand, of course, is Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3. I don't know, I was surprised I got Guitar Hero 2, like, back in April for my wife, because I don't know, she had, I think, passed a test or something like that for her license that she's trying to get, and mm-hmm. So I was like, well, here's a little reward for you, because she's always kind of been interested in guitar, and I know it's not like playing real guitar, so don't flame or anything, but it's like, it's something fun to do and all that, and she got into it, and then I started playing it, and I'm like, damn, this is a lot of fun, and I've actually probably played Guitar Hero 2 about as much as any other game I've got for the 360, pretty close. It's just a lot of fun and really addictive, and I see no reason why Guitar Hero 3 won't be the same. And then Rock Band kind of takes it up to 11, as Spinal Tap would say, and adds in the drums and the vocals and stuff, and the online components will be interesting for that. So
that article you sent me today says that people say Rock Band won E3 or something, or
yeah,
however that works.
I think it's going to be
they won the Iowa
huge.
Caucus.
Yeah. I think it's going to be big. I mean, it just seems like it's this thing that is really being talked about a lot, and it has a lot of potential, like I think we talked about in the last podcast, you know, with different ways they could go with it as far as, like, you know, having different contests online and things, and I don't know. I think it could be really big if they pull it off to its potential, so I'm looking forward to giving it a shot, and I did read that they're actually going to make it where you can download, like, full albums for it. I guess they've already got one of the Who albums lined up, and then there was a rumor the other day that they got the Nirvana Nevermind album, where you'd be able to download it. Of course,
really?
They didn't say what pricing would be or anything like that.
5 billion Microsoft points.
I'd think if they could make it where you could download an album for, like, $10, I could see that. I mean, it'd be the same as downloading it off iTunes, and of course they have to do all the programming and shit, but...
Well, I heard a rumor that you could, like, make your own tracks.
I haven't seen that, but, I mean, it's possible.
So, here's a question. Are you going to get both Guitar Hero 3 and Rock Band?
Probably.
Okay.
Because I'll probably get Guitar Hero 3, because that comes out in, like, October, I think.
When's Rock Band?
They haven't announced a date yet, although I've seen sometime in November rumored. But I figure if I get Guitar Hero, I can buy that one with the guitar again. Then me and my wife will both have guitars.
Oh, yeah.
And then get Rock Band, don't buy it with any instruments, maybe. And then, like, if you get it, you know, you can get it with whatever instrument you want to get.
Then we can rock!
Yeah, because then we'd have the two guitars already, and we could swap around and stuff like that. And
you know what we'll say? We'll be like, I want to rock! Yeah!
Yes. So yeah, I think those could be a lot of fun. And the online component will be pretty big, because that was something that everybody rumored for the longest time was going to be in Guitar Hero 2, and then it didn't make the cut, probably, so it would give them a good way to sell more copies of Guitar Hero 3 when it comes out.
Which does have online?
Yep. So, and it has the wireless controller like everybody wanted.
Well,
so
maybe they just didn't have time to put all those things in the early versions.
It's possible.
Wireless
I think it's something
much
more nefarious than that. So.
Yeah, because they did have a wireless for the PS2. Okay, I have two more. Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, I was wondering when that was going to come up.
Well, I really like the other games.
Yeah.
But I'm going to buy that for my PC.
No!
Fista, what are you doing? I can play Call of Duty 4.
How can I kick your ass online, then?
Well, you wouldn't have been able to anyway, so who cares?
Please. Captain Wasad.
That's right. Anyway, it's apparently World War II has finally been won.
Yes, we can move on after all these years.
So apparently this is some sort of like Russians in Afghanistan storyline with it?
Yeah, it looked something like that, like some sort of Middle Eastern pseudo-topical, timely plotline.
Yeah, maybe in the
80s. Events or something,
but
I don't know.
Whatever, it's some change of pace finally.
So pretty cool. So.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know, I think... you know, the single-player experience, sometimes it gets kind of forgotten in this, like, online world.
Yeah.
So basically, it looks like it's going to be like a game like Battlefield 2, except for, like, with a story, which is pretty cool.
I would like it if they'd add co-op to that game, though. That was one thing that was kind of frustrating, and, like, when I got Call of Duty 2, because, like, my wife wanted to play and stuff. And the game lends itself well to being able to have a co-op mode where you'd split-screen it, because usually you have guys with you.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're a one-man army like we'll get to in our cliche segment.
Well, you should be.
You know, so it would be nice to see them add that, but I don't think they're going to. But yeah, Call of Duty 4, that was on my list too. I don't know if I will buy it or not. It kind of depends on how all this other stuff goes. Because I never did buy Call of Duty 3, but that wasn't Infinity Ward, of course, either, but...
Crysis probably won't come out this fall, so, yeah, I'll get it. What else you got?
I had some other stuff on here. It's all stuff that I don't really know if I will buy or not, but I had, like, PGR4, because I love racing games and all that, but I do have Forza still tiding me over, so I don't know if I'll bite the bullet on that one. And then I got, like, that Half-Life 2 orange box that's coming out, because that looks like a pretty good bargain if it comes out for $60, because it's got, like, what is it, like, Half-Life 2?
Is it even $60?
I thought it was 60.
Oh, I thought it was actually
maybe
less.
Maybe it's 50, I don't know, but it's got, like, what was it, Team Fortress 2 comes with it, and, like, Half-Life 2, and then,
and
like,
Portal,
I think an expansion
game
for Half-Life 2, and, yeah, there's, like, four or five games that come in it.
It's a pretty good bargain.
And right. Half-Life's always been a really popular, like, online PC game, like it still is, so if it can get that kind of following on the 360.
Well, the Counter-Strike mod.
That helped a lot, or?
That's the one everyone plays, is
oh,
a Counter-Strike
okay.
mod.
So you can tell I'm not a PC gamer, because I know nothing of this.
Oh, that sounds neat. Anything else on your list? I only have one more myself.
The only other one was Assassin's Creed, which looks interesting. I think it's cool that they, like, set it during, like, the Crusades and all that, and you're kind of like this assassin dude, hence the title. And you're, like, screwing with the Crusader guys, it looks like.
So is that a new intellectual property?
Yes.
It seems like they've been talking about it for so long. They should be, like, in the sequel by
yeah.
now.
Yeah, that was because it was, like, a big deal at E3 last year, too, I think. And originally it was going to be a PS3 exclusive, but now it's coming to the 360 as well, so.
And cell phones.
Yeah, for some reason. But yeah, good old Ubisoft strikes again.
Yep.
And they do actually churn out pretty good stuff. I gotta give them credit, you know.
Except for when they're making other Wii crap.
Yeah, but like stuff like Gras and Rainbow Six especially are
in Crisis,
pretty damn
I'm sure
cool.
they'll publish.
Yeah.
Well, the last one I have is, of course, Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yes. That's one that I know I'll play at some point, but for some reason I'm just not excited about it, even though I know it'll be fun and whatever, but it's like, I didn't get into San Andreas, so, and Vice City, I still say the main reason I enjoyed Vice City is because it's basically Scarface without the license, because it follows the Scarface story, so that's why it was enjoyable to me, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into it or not, but it'll be a big, big seller for the system, I'm sure, for both the 360 and the PS3.
Well, anyway, I've always enjoyed playing the games. I would agree with you that I enjoyed Vice City better.
Yeah.
I think because it wasn't as big as San Andreas.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a limitation. And I think this is basically some sort of pseudo New York, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I would like just
that could be cool.
One better city than like three cities.
Yeah.
With a bunch of empty space between them. And it's present day, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it. Be interesting to see what the storyline is for it, I guess, and what new, like, gameplay features they've added to it.
I think it's the usual, like, you're from Russia, and with love, and they've killed your brother, blah, blah, blah.
Another cliche.
Oh, yeah, that's true, we gotta get onto that. But yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed the other ones, and even playing Dead Rising, it made me think, wow. That game made me think about Grand Theft Auto. Like, it'll be so cool to play Grand Theft Auto on a new system. So
if you could only get two of those, which would you get?
I would get Call of Duty 4 and Grand Theft Auto. How about you?
I would probably get, God, it'd be tough. I'd probably get, like, Mass Effect and Guitar Hero 3.
Above Rock Band?
Probably, yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully we can get more.
Yeah, I think we can.
I hope so.
Unless inflation really goes batshit in the next few months. I think I'll be able to swing probably four or five of these if I really want to.
Well, your basement's almost done, right?
Yes, so now I need to fill it with gaming goodness.
Indeed. All right, well, I guess that's, I don't know, not much else to say about the new games then.
Yep.
Okay, we should probably move on because I think we went a little over in our intro.
Oh, no.
Next topic. Oh, man, this tooth is really sensitive. Beer would help
rip
it.
Rip it out.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
Yeah, get on that.
You know what? I can't find my hammer.
Well, see, if you had your hammer, you could just come over here and whack, and there goes that tooth.
I know, but I don't have it. I really don't know. I don't know where it is.
Hmm.
Anyway.
If anybody knows the whereabouts of Ben's hammer, please email benjamin.hackendorn.
Will be appearing on a milk carton soon. Or you can message me on Xbox Live.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Topic two is video game cliches. Things that are in every video game and are cliches. So,
yes.
We both have our own little lists, so let's go for it. What do you got?
Well, I have the one that was mentioned earlier about how there's many of these games have the whole thing where there's like one person who has to save the world for whatever reason. It just, everything falls on their shoulders and apparently nobody else can help them in any way, shape, or form.
Well, sure.
I mean, if it was Arnold, I could understand because, you know, anybody else would just slow Arnold down, but I mean, it's like, I don't know, this is kind of funny how that always works. And
actually, I kind of get tired of these "you are a squad of heroes" games.
So you prefer the one-man army?
Oh, definitely.
See, I think those are fun to an extent. I think it's cool that there have been games that have come out like Rainbow Six and stuff where you have a squad and you can like tell them to do stuff, and because it's more like real world, I guess. But I don't know, it's just one of those things that kind of got beaten to death, and nowadays it's not quite as prevalent, but it still definitely exists. Want me to keep going, or what?
I can take the next one.
All right.
I don't think we have too many overlaps. Okay, my first cliche is, "You killed my father!"
Prepare to die.
A cliche from literature as well, but
yeah,
it's in video
cliche
games.
From movies and everything else.
Yes. It's like, yes, Shakespeare. Yeah, this whole thing about Hamlet's father being killed, that's pretty cliche, don't you think? But, yeah, I remember Ninja Gaiden had it, and that was one of the early games, because, of course, that was one of the first games of the story.
Yeah.
And ever since, video game fathers have been dropping left and right.
Lost Planet, in fact.
That was the most recent
thing.
One, yep.
I have the two of these kind of go hand in hand, I guess, where it's the savior of the world. Even though he is or she is still the savior of the world, they still have to buy crap for their quest. It's like the world doesn't come together and say, you know what, let's support this person however we can and give them what they need for their quest.
Give them a loaf of bread.
It's like, no, you still have to go and kill a rat in a corner that magically has like 2 gold coins on it and come back and, you know, buy your trinket that you need for your quest.
Yeah, why the hell would
and
a
you
rat
laugh
have
because it's true.
I mean, I can see getting rat meat off of a rat.
Yes. See, Oblivion got it right there, but
it's like, oh, look, I found some tongs.
Yes. Awesome.
What the hell do you do with the tongs anyway?
And then to go with that, I have the thing also where shopkeepers always seem to have enough money to buy your shit. So, you know, you go toiling away in a dungeon for hours on end, and you find some magical sword that's worth 10,000 rupees or something, and you bring it up to the guy at the dime store on the corner that has, like, 2 items on the shelf, and he can somehow buy it for 10,000 rupees from you. So.
Wow. That's a good point.
It happens a lot in games. Oblivion was the first one that kind of started to change that I can think of, anyway, where it kind of has a real-world economy built into it. So.
Well, and, you know, if you ran out of money, you just kill a rat and find
yeah, there's a couple more gold coins, so and you get a little meat, too, to get your health back.
I thought it was cool in Oblivion, after you kill something, you can take all your arrows out of it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Oblivion was pretty cool. My next one is obligatory difficult platform jumping sequence.
Yes.
And there's 2 types. There's one where either you end up in a bottomless pit and die, or you end up several stories below where you just were and you had to like retrace everything.
Yeah. Most games have this, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Like hell, that Marvel Ultimate Alliance game, that has it. Lost Planet kind of had a sequence like that.
Yep.
I mean, it's still very prevalent today, just like it was years ago. That's for sure. It's like in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, there's some scenery going up the snowy cliff, and then there's like these caves, and like blasts of snow will come out of the caves for whatever reason, and so it can knock you off, and then you gotta go frickin' climbing back
up. Well, you know what else could knock you off the cliff? The deadliest foe in all of video gamedom. Birds.
Yes. The ultimate evil in the universe.
Okay, so let's say you're the bad guy, Ninja Gaiden, and you've hired all these machine gunnists, boxer dudes, jumping things. You don't need all that.
Yes.
All you need is an army of eagles.
That's right.
Fly around.
Use them as your contingency plan.
And then you try to jump, you hit the eagle, it's like, and then you fall backwards. And of course, you don't fall back onto the ledge, you fall into the pit.
That's right.
And, you know, the bad guy would be safe.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Bond villain thing, though. You know, it would be too easy to do it that way, you know, so they just hire all the lackeys instead.
Yeah.
Give them a fighting chance.
What's your next one?
Oh, like the... There's always, like, some sort of, like, bullshit magical potion or rat meat or whatever that will heal all your ills. And somebody online added the good point I was reading today, and they said something to the effect that, yeah, the last time I went to the doctor with a shattered leg, they didn't just say, here, eat a chicken wing and drink this glass of orange juice, and you'll be healed. Which is kind of like this video game thing where, like in Dead Rising, we were talking about it earlier, where you just go and grab, like, a gallon of orange juice and you get, like, 4 bars of your life back or whatever. And, you know, like, that's
yeah.
a total cliche in games because they have to make it somewhat easy for you to continue living and keep going. They can't make it too realistic, I guess.
In Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater, you actually had to, like, fix your wounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a menu. If you get, you had to get shot about 3 times. You get shot about 3 times, then you have a gunshot wound.
Okay.
But then you had to, like, select a knife to pull it out. Then you had to stitch it up. It doesn't take that long, but...
Well, yeah, they could almost put, like, a mini-game, you know, like how everybody's all in love with the God of War type thing, where you have, like, the different, you know, to pop X up on the screen, and then B, and whatever. They could have, like, kind of a little mini-game come up in the middle of a battle like that when you have to, like, heal yourself or something, and it gets more and more difficult the more times you get wounded, something like that.
Or they could just put Trauma Center in the game.
I was thinking that, too. If they really wanted to be hardcore.
After an eagle knocks you off a cliff, you have to, like, repair your own bone.
And you get impaled on a branch or something.
Okay, what's the dumbest thing in a video game you've ever seen that restores life? I mean, we talked about, like, orange juice and,
God. Wasn't there, like, some stupid, like... I mean, I'm sure there's dumber things. I don't know.
In Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time, water could do it. You go, if you found a fountain, you'd be like... And you would...
And you were healed.
So, that's even weaker than orange juice.
I've seen interesting ones, like in that Overlord game, there's like some sort of like blood fountain or something you go up to, and you can like sacrifice your minions to get yourself health back.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was an interesting concept.
Hmm.
Not stupid by any means, it was just different, and at least there was some... You had to sacrifice something to get life back, which I thought was interesting, so... I don't know, I'm sure there's been dumb things I've seen, but... And then they have the new thing in games, of course, like Call of Duty.
Where your health recharges.
Yeah, you just gotta go hide for, you know, 10 seconds or something, and then you're...
Yeah, how do you feel about that versus orange juice and health packs?
I prefer it, because... To a certain extent, because it's like... I mean, they both have their place, but... You know, it's kind of annoying when you're playing a game, and you get so far, and then it's like, oh god, I'm almost dead. Now I gotta, like, backtrack somewhere to... find this health pack that's just magically laying out here in the wilderness or whatever, and I mean, I guess you could make arguments for and against it, because like in Dead Rising it's kind of nice that you have to like go back somewhere, because you have to like go through this whole mob of zombies to get to the orange juice or the frozen pizza or whatever the hell it is you're
Remember,
going
cook
after.
Cook it first to get more points back.
That's right. But, you know, you actually have to kind of... There's some strategy involved in that game, the way it handles it, which I think's nice, instead of just backtracking through an empty level to find what you need.
You have to backtrack through hell.
Yeah, you actually have to go through something to get it, where in most games in the past, it was kind of like a waste of time, because it's like, oh great, I just got to go back to this spot and find this health pack, and then I can come back here and get shot up again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's kind of nice, because it keeps the game flowing, you know.
Yeah. Okay, my next cliche is, I've seen this happens in a lot of games. A scene where your character dies and goes to hell.
A cyberpunk thriller.
Which we still haven't played.
No.
It cost me 800 Microsoft points.
Yes. You poor thing, you. That
yes.
is true. That was something that was kind of neat, like how Prey played with that. Like, they didn't send you to hell, they sent you to, like, the spirit world that the Indians believed in, or whatever. I guess it's Native Americans to be PC. And you have to, like, kind of fight your way through that spirit world to get back to the living world. Which that was kind of a nice way that somebody took that cliche and tweaked it a little bit.
What's your next one?
The thing where you have to, like, collect a certain number of an item to be able to unlock an area.
Like in Super Mario 64?
Yes. And didn't Super Mario 3 do that too, or not really?
No, it's been so long since I've played. You just kind of barrel through it in Mario 3.
Okay. I mean, it's been so long since I've played.
Unless you're thinking about the warp whistles.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it seems like that's something that isn't as common anymore, although, of course, a lot of games you get them and you can't play all aspects of the game or whatever until you've done a certain amount of stuff. Like, racing games do that now. Like, with Forza, you start out and you have to drive, like, you know, these cheaper cars, and you gotta get your level way up.
Well, you're speaking about unlockables, then, which is a cliche.
Yeah, which is kind of in the same vein. It's the new version of this thing, I guess. But it's like, you don't get to drive all the different types of cars, and even some of them, you can't race, like, the prototype race cars in that game. You can't, like, actually really race them until you've probably put, like, 15, 20 hours into the game. Which is kind of crazy, I think, but
yeah.
So yeah, cliche.
Okay, my next one. We need to speed it up.
Yes.
A lot of games have a scene in which you have to guide a brainless, innocent person through danger.
A.K.A. Natalia in GoldenEye.
And Dead Rising had it too, until I realized you could give them weapons.
Yeah, that helps a lot when you can do that.
So that's always annoying.
Yes.
Not as annoying as Eagles, but what's your next one?
What are you going to do? The last one I got is, or actually I got a couple yet. That, like, your character can carry all sorts of shit and do all sorts of great things, but heaven forbid if they could jump over or even step over small things that are in their path. So, like, a game like Perfect Dark Zero, your character can't jump for some reason. So you can't jump up to this ledge that, like,
Jump in GoldenEye.
Yeah, I know. I mean, same thing, though. It's, like, stupid. It's like James Bond can jump. I've watched the movies, for Christ's sakes. You know? So, I don't know. It's just, like, annoying. And, like, Call of Duty and stuff, I've noticed it, too, where you can't go over things unless they decided to program it that you could hit the A button or whatever so your dude would actually crawl over the log.
I've got one similar to that. Highways and paths that end in artificial barricades or piles of rubble. It's like, this road just ends at a blank wall, or there's a destroyed vehicle here or something.
Yeah, some arbitrary thing to impede your progress.
Yep.
I guess my last one here is, seems like in a lot of games anymore, the depiction of female characters is pretty ridiculous, where they have to Well, they have to be wearing, like, all these, you know, barely any clothes, and their breasts are, you know, the size of frickin' watermelons, and it's just, like, they have, like, all these ridiculous...
But now with the advanced physics engine, you know, they can put so much more animation into that.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, like, ridiculous proportions to the characters, and they do it with, you know, male characters to some extent, too, where, you know, they have them all with, like, these huge bulging muscles and stuff, but it seems to be much more uninhibited with female characters and all that, so it's kind of funny, even in, like, Dead Rising, you know, that chick who's, like, there with you.
Oh, yeah, the blonde one.
Even her, she's got to have, like, this large chest, even though she's wearing, you know, like, kind of normal clothes, but they still have to have her have ridiculous breasts and all this stuff. It's like, you know, yeah, guys like all that stuff, but it's like, Christ, try to be, you know, a bit realistic with it at times, you know?
Of course, then you're also eating pizzas to recover from zombie wounds.
Yeah. But, you know, but like the male character, he looks like a normal Joe Blow dude, you know? Nothing special about him.
That's true.
So,
but of course, you know, they're selling these games to kids and boys and
yeah,
men.
So,
and
yeah, I mean, I know why they do it, but it's just, like, kind of stupid. But,
I
yeah.
Mean, yeah, you don't think Nintendo's going to make a Mario game where he's got, like, a huge
schlong?
He's like, it's a me, Mario! Look what I ever got!
Let's plumb this place.
Time to lay some pipe! My last cliche is boss battles where a bunch of extra little bad guys come in because the main bad guy probably didn't test hard enough.
Yes.
In the development stage.
It's like in the Turtles arcade game. I noticed that when I played through it on Xbox a month or so ago, and like how they had to add mousers in a bunch of spots, and like these little robot characters, you know, when you're fighting the main bad guys, they had to throw these little extra dudes in there, kind of tying into this.
Golden Axe did that. Lost Planet again did it.
Yeah.
Streets of Rage. There was a game.
I'd forgotten about that one. The wannabe Final Fight.
Hey. All right, well, we better move on to our final topic here and make it short.
Yes.
Okay, price drops and magical price barriers. So allegedly there's some sort of magical price barrier at which point people will buy a game system and it's not over $400.
Apparently, yes. Although there's already been, you know, 10 million, well, I suppose if you include the PS3 in there, you got like over 15 million people have gone out and bought systems that at least cost $300. Because if you include the core in there, and I don't know how many of those have sold.
I think it's about 20%. Of the 360s.
So you could say, you know, 12, 13 million systems that are $400 or more have been sold this generation. Which isn't exactly a small number.
Well, the thing we were talking about earlier, I don't know if we were talking about it on air, but, you know, the PlayStation 1 was $300 when it was launched, and the PlayStation 2 was $300 when it was launched, and taking inflation into effect, at least with the PS1, that is like almost $400 today.
Yeah.
So is it just like the numbers that scare people? Because the value of the money is completely different.
Yeah, I don't get what it is. I mean, even I was kind of, you know, susceptible to that, because originally I said, you know, I'm not going to buy a 360 until it's $300. Like, I had that in my head. And then I wound up buying, you know, the $400 one. I even bought a freaking Elite eventually, you know. But I had that in my head, too, you know, that it's like $300 is like this magic number for me. Even though you have TVs today that people are buying, myself included, that cost thousands of dollars, you know. So it's okay for your TV to cost three or four times what you paid for your last one, but
and it's okay to buy a house that costs 50 grand more than it should.
Yes, but heaven forbid.
But you still have to pay for the 50 grand because of the market.
But heaven forbid if you pay $100 more than what a game console cost, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. When it's a hell of a lot more than just a game console. It's like, you know, this thing isn't just a little, you know, Nintendo 64 or a Sega Genesis sitting there. It's like these things are high-tech pieces of equipment, and they can do a hell of a lot more than just play a game. I mean, they're computers.
Well, do you think it's because electronics are usually almost inverse to inflation?
Seems like it, because like you see that, you know, now with computers, you know, when computers were coming out originally, it was like $2,000 for a, you know, whatever Pentium.
But if you think about, because I always build my own computer, the price of components is always about the same, even though the components are always better.
Yeah.
Like a decent amount of memory is usually always $200. The chips usually always around $300. The motherboard's always like $100. Well, that's kind of gone up, but you see what I mean? So that is inverse, because you're getting.
Yeah, you're getting, like, inflation isn't having the same impact there that it does on other parts of the economy.
Right.
Obviously, the companies are finding ways to make their products cheaper. Manufacturing in China, anyone, amongst other things, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
there's
game
a lot
consoles.
Of that.
I guess the PS3 is made in Japan.
Yeah,
but
I think
all that
so.
Stuff used to be made in Japan, but hardly anymore.
Yeah, but I think like the 360 is made in China, and I believe the Wii is also. Because I think I read about that, and I was kind of surprised because Japan and China still kind of have a little bit of a rift and all that from, you know, way back and whatever. And so it was kind of surprising that they were building their product in China, but that's the case. So
maybe that's why Sony doesn't.
Yeah, it might be. But, yeah, so, I mean, there's ways that companies find to build stuff cheaper. I mean, that's just how it is today. Everybody's sending their manufacturing to China and whatever, because it's cheaper than paying Americans to do it, so.
Yep. Well, I think the Atari 2600 was $250 when it came out.
Yeah.
Or, well, whatever it was, that was a lot of money. Especially if you consider, like, well, that was near the end of the 70s, but the inflation rate of the 70s and the 80s was quite a bit.
Yeah, it was pretty high.
So now that would be like a PS3 at least,
yeah.
The amount of money that you'd have to spend. I mean, back in the 70s, $200, that was like, you know, like 50 Pet Rocks and the Who album. So it was a lot of money. But, yeah, so I don't know. Again, maybe it's people are saying, you know, the casual gamers don't want to spend $300, you know.
Yeah.
But they'll spend $200 on a frickin' Razer cell phone or whatever.
Yeah, and they'll go and buy an iPhone for $500 or $600. You know, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then they'll use the justification, well, blah, 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 you know, I can go on the internet and I can get my email and I can even make calls on it. And it's like, well, guess what? Your PS3, you know, you can check out, you can watch Blu-ray movies on it, you can play video games on it, you can surf the web on it, you can watch, you can listen to music on it, you can look at pictures, you know, it's like, it's
which
not
goes
just
back to those companies
system.
Need to talk about their consoles being able to do that,
yeah.
Which they don't.
Exactly.
Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah. But it's like, for some reason, people just, they still have this thing where a video game console is a video game console.
Well, it still should be.
Which it should.
In the end.
You know, that's what it's, you know, key factor should be the games, but it's like, isn't it kind of nice that I can go and buy a 360 and, oh, by the way, I can watch movies on it, and I can, you know, go online and download movie trailers and different things. I mean, that's stuff I use, so obviously, to me, it's a nice benefit to be able to do those things. And, listen to music on it and whatever else, and you know, so I think it's nice that these systems have the ability to do those things. And so at the end of the day, it's like, you know, $400 for one, it's not that ridiculous, and now it's gonna be even cheaper, so you know, get in there. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just like, for some reason with video game stuff especially, people just seem to have it in their head that like $200 or something's like this magic number. It just seems... It's like $200 is something that if on the spot something comes up, you can shit out $200. And it doesn't seem like... You know, it's a chunk of money, but it's not like a ridiculous amount of money for a lot of people. Where you get to $400 and it's like, ugh, you know, that's a good chunk of change. I guess that's how I look at it, you know.
Yeah, I get your point.
Because, like, you know, that's why the PS2 still sells so well. You know, it costs, what, $100 or $120
yes, all these
or
people that, like, want the PS3 and Xbox to fail for some reason, which would be bad for the industry, they're like, well, the PS3 is still the top selling. It's like, yeah, that's because it's $129 or
PS2,
whatever.
PS2, you mean?
Oh, but, yeah, PS2. Yeah. It's like, yes, it sells more because it's dirt cheap.
Yeah. Well, the thing I think is impressive, and nobody really talks about it, everybody keeps saying Sony's failing right now, but it's like, well, yeah, the PS2 is still the top-selling console, and...
So how's that feeling?
Yeah, and to me, the PS3, it's interesting to me, because it's like, even with its high price point, the fact that it has essentially no games, they've still sold, like, 5 to 6 million of those things.
Is that that far behind the Wii, even?
Not really. It's only, like, a couple million behind, which... To me, it's quite impressive, really, because it's like the thing doesn't have any...
And it costs twice as much.
Yeah.
Well, that's just media spin bullshit there for you, you know?
But it's like, I don't know, to me that's impressive, that at its price point and everything, and the fact that it,
I don't know,
it doesn't have, like, a, you know, huge game, like it doesn't have a Halo 3 on it right now, or, you know, something to make people go, yes, I need that, you know? Or a Zelda, you know, because Zelda's a popular game, and it doesn't have that killer app right now, and it's still sold that many units. So, it's impressive.
And does it really have a killer app in the near future?
Not really.
I mean, I wouldn't call Grand Theft Auto a killer app, and if it was exclusive,
it would be. Metal Gear is the first one, probably, and that's not till like March or something next
they've
year.
They've all but admitted that's going to be on the 360 as well.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to end up being a timed exclusive.
Oh, well, that might be enough.
So, I could see it where it comes out for the PS3, you know, then 6 months later the 360 gets it with enhanced functionality, probably, like Virtua Fighter 5, where it didn't have online on the PS3, and then the 360 gets it a few months later, and it's got online and everything else. So,
well, maybe the online for the 360 just works better. Maybe Microsoft gives out a better, like,
better dev
SDK
tools and stuff.
Yeah. All right, we should probably wrap this up because we went over. It's overtime!
Awesomeness. So, yeah. Buy shit this fall.
Yes.
Maybe even comment on what games you're really looking forward to, and we won't try not to make it like some big flame war. It's like, it's cool if you want to get Super Smash Bros. Brawl or whatever, you know. Doesn't matter. Everybody's got their stuff they're looking forward to, and it'd be interesting to see what everybody wants to get. Maybe we can even pool our resources amongst the 360 people, and maybe we can all get similar games, and then we can kick ass online together, so.
Yes.
Because that
would
rock.
We could all finish the fight.
Yeah. Four at a time.
Get in there. All right,
well.
Flop
it up.
Thanks to everyone who entered our mascot contest, and congratulations to the winner of the guy who drew that dragon.
Yes.
Doug or whatever. Yes, I will send you a free copy of my headsets. Whee!
Awesome.
All right, well, I guess we'll talk to you all next time.
Yes. Adios.
And happy gaming.
Yes!
Get in there!